So hello, my name is Simon Tomes, Community Lead here at Ministry of Testing, and welcome to episode 67 of This Week in Testing. So how has your week in testing been? We will get you up on stage soon and you can tell us all about it. Very curious to hear what you've been up to this week. Maybe you've been working on a new feature that you're aiming to ship very soon. Love to hear about that. Love to find out about your test approach right now. Perhaps some of the tooling that you're using, and also some of the techniques that you're using right now. Love to hear about all that stuff. Absolutely. If you do end up on stage, please be mindful this is an official Ministry of Testing event. So we have a code of conduct in place. You can head over to ministryoftesting.com and head to the footer and you'll see a link to the code of conduct. So please do go check that out and be aware that you are signing up to it when you join the stage. Okay, folks, well, first up, I apologize if my voice stops working. I know that doesn't really help when you're hosting a voice-only event, but it's on the verge of going very soon with a bit of a cold here, so apologies for that. But hey, I'm going to power on through. I've got some cough sweets at the ready, and that will help. And I'll choose to strategically stop speaking at a certain point when my voice packs in. Okay, so what has been happening in the community? Wow, loads of stuff this week. I'm loving it. I absolutely love seeing Jesper Ottesen. If you head over to Jesper's LinkedIn page, he shared his collection of the Testing Planet newspapers. So many years ago, Ministry of Testing would release a physical newspaper called the Testing Planet. It's awesome. It was a great way to celebrate the community. And this year, we relaunched the physical newspaper, and Jesper was sharing that he had pretty much all of the editions that have ever been released. So do check that out on Jesper. It's a real kind of nod back to history and all the cool stuff that the community have been up to. So thanks for sharing, Jesper. I will include a link to that photo. Actually, it's on our memories page. So if you go to ministryoftesting.com/memories, you can see it there. But I will include a link in next week's MOT Weekly, which is our weekly newsletter, which is a good roundup of everything that's been happening in the community. So things that I share today will get included, plus many, many more things. So do go sign up for that on ministryoftesting.com/newsletter. I see that, what else have we got? Oh, yes. Hanan Raymond has launched a new blog. So Hanan has been very active on the club, which is Ministry of Testing's forum. And if you head over to, Hanan Raymond.github.io, he's now set up his own site and he's going to be posting, talking about all things testing. So it's great to see that he's launched that. So do go check it out. Again, I'll include a link to that in the newsletter as well. So congrats, Hanan, for getting that set up. Very cool indeed. Couple more meetups coming soon. So Ministry of Testing Leeds on the 28th of November in the UK. So do jump into that. We also have Ministry of Testing London in the UK happening very soon. There is a date coming soon, but I don't have it officially to hand. But do sign up to MOT London on meetup.com to receive notifications. If you're in the London area, absolutely recommend you getting involved in that meetup. Should be a lot of fun. Great way for the London testing community to connect. So do check that out. And thanks to Gary Shannon and Robbie Falk for setting things up there. I'm going to do my very best to get to that one in person as well. So it'd be lovely to meet some of you in person if you can make it. Cool. What else have we had? Lots of stuff going on in the hiring space. So just before I jump in, Vivek, I can see you have your hand up. Thank you for doing that. I will invite folks up on stage very shortly. So feel free to stay with your hand up, but I'm not being rude. It's more, I'm just going to share a few more things about what's been happening in the community, and then we can get you up on stage for a chat. Congratulations to Joseph Batt. They are starting a new position as a lead quality engineer at the Lloyds Banking Group. Very, very cool. Lloyds Banking Group, you know, big supporter and big part of the Ministry of Testing community. So that's really cool to see that Joseph starting that new position as a lead quality engineer. So big congrats to you there, Joseph. I see there's a lot of companies hiring right now. So I'm going to rattle through this list. But again, all of this stuff will be included in the newsletter next week. So Marzia Jahanbazi is hiring a senior QA test engineer in Auckland, New Zealand. We've got Holiday Extras hiring a QA engineer based in Kent in the UK. Transport for London are hiring some senior test managers. RBC are hiring a senior QA engineer. There's a job, a QA engineer in Netgear Cork in Ireland. 2i are hiring a quality engineer. So yeah, 2i are big supporters of the Ministry of Testing community. So it's great to see that they're hiring. Java test automation, background required, UK only. And there's a couple of software testing apprentice opportunities via Digital Native UK. So do go check those out. With the Ministry of Testing LinkedIn account, we tend to repost lots of these jobs that are being advertised. You know, our network is your network. We want to make sure we can get these opportunities out to as many people as possible and help people find a good match for their next career move. So do go check that out. And also, we note that Maria Kay is open to work. They're looking for a quality assurance automation engineer and SDET role. Again, we'll include a link to their profile in MOT Weekly on Monday. Talking about kind of hiring, we're slowly but surely adding updates and changes to a new feature on ministryoftesting.com. If you log into your Ministry of Testing profile, you will see a little handle ID underneath your name. If you click on that, it takes you to your own dedicated profile page. It's really cool. So you'll be receiving badges through doing things and contributing to the community. You can see, like, if you've talked at an event, if you've written an article, if you shared a memory, a meme, loads of other stuff coming soon. We aggregate all that data and present it in your own dedicated profile page. So we believe this is something that can support your LinkedIn profile page and supplement it and help amplify it. You can direct people to your profile page. You know, if you're, I don't know, you're having a one-to-one with your manager, or you are having a annual performance review, or perhaps you're looking to move to your next opportunity, you can include that profile page on your CV or resume. So it's early days with this feature, but we've got lots of good stuff planned for it. So do get involved. We do have a beta testing channel via the Ministry of Testing Slack. And if you want to get involved in helping us explore that feature, share some ideas, share some feedback, then do jump on the beta testing channel or request to join it. And we'd love to get your thoughts and feedback. So yeah, that's really cool. Some good stuff. Another feature we released recently, was it yesterday or 2 days ago? I can't remember. I'm losing track of time. But it's related to collections. So any professional member of Ministry of Testing can now create their own collection. So you might be wondering, well, what is a collection? A collection is a group of resources that you found on ministryoftesting.com. So this could be, a number of talks that you're interested in. Maybe you pick a topic like, say, exploratory testing. You do a search for all talks related to exploratory testing. You can create your own collection. Think of it like a playlist that you can use for yourself to guide your learning and development. You can also search for articles. You can search for any content that is available on ministryoftesting.com. And there's so much stuff on there. We've set up some collections as the Ministry of Testing team that you might be interested in. We also now encourage professional members to create their own collections. Think of it as a way to kind of build up your to-do list of learning material. And also, you know, eventually there'll be opportunities to share those with others and also bring in external resources to add it to your collection. Really cool. And it's, a great way to celebrate many people who contribute to the Ministry of Testing community and share their thoughts and ideas and expertise. Look out for that one. If you head over to ministryoftesting.com/collections, and you can see what people are sharing. Okie dokes. Good question from Kelly Kenyon. They ask, What did you do when you first started interviewing testers? I think this is a great question. Kelly shared that over on the club, so club.ministryoftesting.com. And it's an important one, right? You know, at some point you are the interviewee and you're starting out in your career and you're finding jobs and you're moving to different opportunities. And then there will come a time when you'll start interviewing people yourself and become the interviewer. And it's quite a switch. So maybe that's something we can dive into a bit during today's This Week in Testing. I'd love to find out a bit more about, you know, what did you do when you first started interviewing testers? What structure did you use for your interview? What support did you have from people with a bit more experience? What methodologies helped you? You know, what mistakes did you make? And how did you progress to become a successful interviewer? Love to dive into that topic. It's also a good discussion around risk as well. So how to document risk. So how do you share it? What does your risk documentation look like? What models are you using to talk about risk and have conversations? Who do you target? Who are your audiences when you have a conversation about risk? And then how do you translate that into your testing efforts and your strategy and approach? I think that's an important one. Perhaps we could dive into this week as well. So lots of good stuff happening. Again, there's a whole list of stuff that I'm scrolling through right now on my screen that I will not have time to cover, but please do sign up to the newsletter. It's called MOT Weekly. It comes out every Monday and it will include lots of the good stuff that shared already, plus a heck of a lot more. And we also now send out a monthly newsletter to both our professional members and everyone in the community, which is a summary of everything that we've released as a community, events to join, important hot topics to jump into, good discussions, lots of trends, articles that we're putting out. This is really good insight from the community. We also share our memes. We share our memories, which is our photo memories feature. We aggregate all that together every month. And if you checked your inbox yesterday, you would have received that. If you are a member of Ministry of Testing, whether you are a professional member or not, you should receive a copy of that email. You can just sign up for that. It's all pretty straightforward. When you become a member, you get access to that newsletter as well. We'd like to think of it as doing a bit of the work so you don't have to. We appreciate you're super busy day to day, and it's our role here at Ministry of Testing to bring all the good stuff that's happening in the community to you, directly to your inbox. Okay, dokes. Well, I think it is time for me to bring some people up on stage. So Vivek, you have waited so patiently with your hand up. I'm very grateful for that. So let's get Vivek T up onto stage and we can have a chat. Vivek, welcome.
Hi, Simon. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you, Vivek. How has your week in testing been?
It was like roller and coasters. It was like we were having a lot of issues from the infra side. So our HPA, horizontal pod auto scaling, what was not properly configured, due to which our test was failing due to the connection refuse error from the API side. So we were struggling almost from past 2 or 3 months now. And finally, when I used the main production URL last night, my all tests got passed. And then I created a scene in the office saying that the infra level issue or the backend developer issue where the connection pool of the database is not handled properly, that is the root cause. And I finally summarized them that my all tests are fine. Please look into your system side. So now something relaxed and I'm feeling happy at the weekend side. And I also wanted to tell you that I started contributing on the Ministry of Testing website. So I also posted a post regarding the communication part. Hope you have read it. And also responded to few posts which was there. So finally, I got some relaxed time where I'm able to contribute in the community. And I feel so special that you have created a platform where all testers are unite and sharing the thoughts. So I'm really thankful to you, and I just dream that one day I can also make the same kind of platform and make testers unite. But yeah, parallelly job, it is difficult, but yeah, someday maybe I'll think.
Wonderful, Vivek. I mean, yeah, congrats on your debugging skills, and that you're able to get things wrapped up before the weekend. I can imagine if that was looming over your weekend, that could be frustrating. So yeah, good on you for making that work. Interestingly enough, I mentioned about Hanan. He shared a good audio clip in our Slack the other day, just about the fact that when he had to stop testing was down to a configuration issue. And I, you know, it seems to be an often thing that can happen to us testing folks, that there's always some sort of config issue where something isn't talking to something correctly, and that can cause all sorts of issues. And also, Vivek, I was going to suggest if you might be able to pop yourself on mute. There's a little bit of feedback, but I see you've done that, so thank you. Thanks for getting stuck in and sharing your thoughts over on the club. It's brilliant. Yeah, please do continue to go for it and share, and you know, continue to ask questions with the community and get stuck in. We're very grateful to hear your thoughts on many things and for you to share your ideas and to support the rest of the community. It's very cool to see that. So thank you very much.
My pleasure, Simon. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, please do stick around up on stage. I can see a couple of folks who are looking to join us, Vivek. So if you stick around, let's bring up, going to bring up Manish. And then Ben, I can see you got your hand up as well. I'll bring you up in a little bit as well. Manish, welcome. Yes. All right. Thanks. Good to see you again.
Well, yeah, thanks, Simon. So how's everybody doing? Hope everybody's having a great week. I had one question I wanted to talk about. I mean, I have been a big fan of MOT. I read a lot of articles, and then, as you know, I join a lot of these Friday meetings. And then inspired by this, so I started a small community within my own team first, and then that went really well. So now I pitched up, I thought maybe I can take this a little forward. And I pitched this idea to my manager and then my architect at the higher levels. They were quite receptive of this idea of having a community created within my company. Now, my question is, like, how do I get started? I mean, within my team, I knew how to get started, what to share and then what to talk about. But I mean, I'm a little intimidated now that everybody has said, let's do it. The problem is, I mean, somebody has started once in the past and then that did not quite work out. I do not want to make the same mistakes again. I mean, this was much before my time in my current company. So, but now that I'm pitching this idea, I wanted to get some insights on how do you guys run these community meetings, what to share, how to share, how do you prepare?
Wow. I mean, that's very cool, Manish. So congratulations for going for it and having success initially with the small community in your own team. And then getting sign off to set up a community of practice. That's very, very exciting. Kind of scary as well. You're like, yeah, I'll pitch this idea. They'll probably say no. And they said yes. Oh boy. But good on you. So my initial thinking, I mean, I've got tons of ideas on this, but very quickly, I would say there is on ministryoftesting.com, if you search for communities of practice or community of practice, there are some of the Testing Planet episodes where a number of really good community of practice people share their thoughts and ideas on A, how to get started, B, some of the challenges you may face, and C, how to overcome them. Really good stuff. So I can think of Drew Ponticus as well as someone that you might want to follow if he's not on your radar. Drew has a background in software testing and has set up internal communities of practice at the company he's working at. He is super knowledgeable, and there are plenty of others in the community as well, but you'll find them by having a look at the Testing Planet session that we run dedicated on communities of practice. So I would recommend a bit of research, diving into that, learn from others who have kind of done it and some of the challenges they've faced. I hope that helps, Manish.
Yes, it does. Awesome. Thanks, Simon. Thanks for the redirect. I'll definitely take a look.
Awesome. And I'd very much welcome the audience to jump on in and share their experiences. Perhaps if I bring Ben Doan up on stage, Ben can share a little bit more about his experiences of establishing communities of practice and how to make it work. So let's get Ben up on stage.
Hello.
Hello, Ben.
And Simon, how's your week in testing been?
I've had a good week in testing, yeah. You can probably see from some posts, say from Rosie Sherry, who's, for those that don't know, is the founder and CEO of Initiative Testing. We're just, towards the end of the year, a bit more of a reflective mood or mode, and just kind of thinking about how much the community has changed in the last year and changed for just doing awesome things. So we're kind of in a bit of a celebratory mode and like excited about more opportunities that we have. So it's been a bit of that kind of week, just focusing on how awesome and grateful we are to work with brilliant people.
Very nice. And there's never been a better time to contribute, I think, to the testing community. There's so many things going on and there's so many ways to get involved. So whether that's Ministry of Testing or actually other external communities or internal communities of practice like you, Manish, there's never been a better time than now to get involved. Before I jump onto anything else, I had a few things for you, Manish. And I know I've probably given this advice before in a number of different contexts, but it's still true. And that is, as soon as you can, find one or a few close allies, people you can pair with to drive things forward, to help be your partner in crime. Because the one thing that's really brilliant about community is when that community is a catalyst and it's built by the people who are founding it, such as yourself. It's encouraged, structured, it's facilitated, but ultimately it has to grow kind of from the bottom up. And part of that is doing the best you can to bring people in to help you build it, right? So don't feel for a second that you have to go create this thing, and then once you've created it, try and serve a community that will then turn up expecting things. Rather the exact opposite. You have to slowly build up, maybe even sometimes adding one person at a time if you're lucky, teams of people at a time, meeting people, building those relationships, and then bringing them in and getting them to help you build it. Because it has to be that kind of collectively you own it, you build it together. Because as I'm sure Simon will be able to tell you, these things have a life of their own and you have to nurture them, but you can't just stand there in the empty field and hope that people turn up. The community needs to kind of get involved themselves. And once you get a critical mass and you get it to be exciting, so like kind of step one is you start with just a few people and you get them to help you. And then eventually you get to a point where you also communicate, verbalize, socialize that the people who are already involved, what they're getting out of it, right? So say step one is, I'm like, Simon, come with me to the pub on a Friday afternoon and we will have a glass of lemonade and we'll talk about testing. And then the next week, I'm like, Simon, is there anyone else from your team you'd like to invite with to have a little lemonade in the pub? And by the third week, four or five people said, I'm like, I hear there's some lemonade going on in the pub and that you're talking about testing. We want in. And eventually it kind of, it builds from there. So you have to create the space and the time, because creating the space and the time is hard. And if you spend time asking people what the best space and time is, you will only spend time discussing infinitely how there is no space or time. What you will actually find is once you get momentum, people will make the space, will make their time to come and join in. If you make the space and you make the time, it will become something that people prioritize eventually, maybe not in the first week. So yeah, that's kind of the, and whatever is on that beautiful Ministry of Testing collection on community of practice, whatever you read, I hope this is complementary. Like, this isn't different to what other people have said. And there are all sorts of much more practical, these are activities you can run, and, like, you know, actual guidance out there. But I hope that helps, Manish.
Oh yeah, it definitely does. A small backstory to how it all got started. So I started with my company in December of 2021. So, and then prior to that, like, they were still using the company built or a homegrown Selenium framework, but it did not suit to our needs. So I proposed Playwright or Cypress, and then we went Playwright route because it suited more of our needs. And then our team, we created a boilerplate Clue code and then pushed it to our company's repository. And then later on, people started reaching out to me directly, asking for help in setting up their Playwright frameworks or the whole testing processes. So then I realized there are a handful of people who reached out to me, probably say three or four people. Then I realized if three or four people have problems, then there might be other people who might also have problems. So as a first step, what I did is I invited all these four people who reached out to me, and we'll probably meet sometime next week or a week after, just to meet over coffee and then talk about things that's been happening in their teams, and then what issues they're facing, the bad practices, the good practices, the lessons learned, everything, and kind of go from there. We didn't want to make it official yet, so I asked my leadership not to make it official. I thought maybe we'll just talk it through and see if this can really work out. So we wanted to start, that's my idea. Like, that was my idea to start small with a very handful group of people who I know for a fact that are interested, and organically grow from there by word of mouth. Thanks, Ben. Like, that's exactly what was in my mind.
That's my brilliant. Ish.
Perfect. Manish, go for it.
Yeah, Manish, I would like to share some context with respect to your queries. And I heard you quite long. You were just speaking. So I just want to share with you something that by hearing your voice, you really seem like a very strong person who is technically strong and who knows the in and out of testing and who is leading a project in a software company. So congratulations with respect to that. And I just want to request you that this part of you is totally the heroic or Iron Man or Spider-Man part of your life, okay? Which you just discussed and showcased in front of all us. But I just want to request you one more thing, that be modest with your mistakes also. Probably if I give you an example, to be honest, if I tell you, I put a wrong while loop few days back, due to which the company suffered API calls, and those API calls led to loss from the finance side. Okay, so that was my mistake. So I accepted it and I learned from it. So probably I'm going to write a blog on LinkedIn or somewhere that this was the mistake and how to avoid it. Certainly there were some different factors was also involved due to which the problem arrived. So I would say you share your thoughts, which are of leaders also, but at the same time parallelly share your small mistakes or mistakes which you did so that others can also learn from it and not repeat it.
For sure. Yep. Thanks, Vivek.
Great advice, Vivek and Ben. Thank you so much for sharing. Now, I see that Jesse Barkley is waiting patiently in the audience. So let's get Jesse up on the stage to jump in and join this conversation. Jesse, welcome. Hello. How has your week in testing been, Jesse?
Oh, it's been a very dynamic week. I think that's the best way to describe it. some context, I guess, my team has recently started an ensemble. So I'm looking to Ben for his tips on ensemble testing. But in the midst of that, yeah, it's been a few projects launching and quite a heavy cognitive week, I would say. Lots of meetings and system diagram drawing and things like that. So yeah, very, very dynamic, more than the direct testing, but still part of the process, really. It's just a good week. It's a good week. That's what I would say.
I'm hearing you, Jesse. It sounds like a super busy one with a lot of variety, the way you describe that. Yeah. I wondered, given your experiences of kind of being part of a community and getting involved in internal communities of practice, did you have anything you'd like to add to what's been shared already? Just to give some advice for Manish, who's on the call right now.
Sure. Well, Manish, first of all, kudos to you in initiating the communities of practice. I myself have actually started one at my company, and through the buying of quote unquote higher ups, really, I think one of the things we have to keep very clear is what is the end goal of the communities of practice, and that being a very safe space for every person to learn. And it can be topical or it can be role based. It depends on your organizational structure. But the thing we were going after was creating fundamentally a space that people can confidently learn. And when I say learn, it doesn't mean that every time you try something new, you're going to succeed. So even failing at the new thing that you're learning is okay, which is kind of alluded to Vivek's point of describing some of the shortcomings you may have. And so there's that aspect of it. But I think also having a sense of buy-in from the people who want to be a part of this is key. There's that initial buy-in. I would advise, just from yourselves or those who are closer to you in terms of managing it, have a whiteboard session, have a clear understanding of what you want or what you don't want, remove possibly some of the misconceptions that a community practice would solve, or rather facilitate. I think when I was presented with the task of creating it, I actually reached out to Simon, in fact, and I think this was in TestBash 2023 in Liverpool, and he recommended Emily Weber, who's, I want to get this correct, a consultant of some sort, who helps to foster culture and organizations in the right direction. Building successful communities of practice is one of the things she's noted for. And so I brought that back to my team as a way of, let's look at patterns that another person discovered and are there things that we ourselves can start to implement. I think oftentimes there's the excitement that comes with launching something new. There's also the hesitation. Am I going to fail at it? Those are just real feelings that you're going to have walking through it. But I think because there is a sense of together we are walking through it, that helps the community of practice to evolve over time. It's not going to be built immediately. You know, day one on the 8th of November, the community of practice is running immediately. So even that, it's like planning for the long run, planning for the long haul, not becoming exhausted in trying to plan things, but looking at a forecasted projection of what does this community of practice look like. So those are some of the things we started to kind of consider, and which is why I said it's important to have like a whiteboard of what can you do in the immediate, what can you do in the short term, so that might be a 6 months time. What can you do in a year's time? And those are different goals that you can set for yourself or the team or the community, so that you pace yourself in the growth and development and it doesn't become overwhelming. So those are just some considerations I would add to what the rest of the panel has already added. But those are just from my learnings, really, from, you know, having to run it and manage it from time to time. A key thing I spoke of with my manager that helped really was co-leading the communities of practice for 6 months, so that there's an ability to hand over to another person to have the capacity and training in knowing what it is to run one. So it doesn't always fall to you, but what it then says is that others have the ability to lead and manage and steward and deliver. And so you're kind of creating those opportunities for soft skill development, leadership capacity, you know, not building the knowledge around a siloed perspective of it runs only for me, but actually bringing others into that shared knowledge and understanding of just managing things. It might be the first thing that someone has to manage, you know. A person may not have the opportunity for management because of just organizational structure, but this helps to facilitate an opportunity for them to, what does it look like to manage people? and manage in a loose sense of the word manage. Please don't hear it in the HR management context, but you're creating opportunities to steward people in a direction. That's kind of what I'm referring to in terms of management in this context. So I will stop there. But those are my thoughts, really.
That's such amazing advice, Jesse. If you don't mind, you've sparked in me two more additional little bits I will try and add quickly, because that's such great advice. One thing is, when you come to do the whiteboarding, one technique I have found very useful is impact mapping. And if you do a bit of a search, yes, there's a website with a whole load of resources on that. That can be very, very useful. I've done that with internal communities of practice before, doing impact mapping and just going through that process of making sure you have goals and you have ideas on how you might achieve them. It can be very cool. But to go with that, and this is useful for anything, but it's very useful for communities of practice, especially in your case, Manish, where you now get that buy-in to kind of make things official, is just take some notes of things that you have done as a community of practice, and try and get some feedback regularly when you can on the impact that has had on the members of your community of practice. Like, what things have that gone on to do, so that when you go back to the people who are kind of enabling you to have this community of practice in the near future, like the leaders or whatever else who have sanctioned it, your stakeholders, you can give them something and say, hey, over the last 6 months, these were the things the community of practice have learned. This is the impact that learning has had. You'll find that it really kind of gets the community of practice as a whole some kudos and some really justification to keep going, and then it can be invested in, or maybe you can get some training for the group or whatever it is. Maybe it just keeps running. But remembering to actually do that and write stuff down can be very powerful, because it's a really easy one to miss. And then when someone asks you, oh, how is this successful? Has it been? You don't have, like, it's all very well thinking about success and failure, but if you don't know what you were trying to achieve and you don't write down what you did, you have no chance of answering that question, even for yourself.
Wonderful advice.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Jesse. Thanks for that. I mean, it was just awesome the way you explained it. So yeah, I'll try to follow some of your advices and see how it goes. Again, I mean, I'm not trying to build it big. Even if there are like 4 or 5 people who can gain something out of it, so I'll be very happy with that. That said, it actually made me think about one other thing. If there's nobody else in the audience waiting for talking, may I post one more question? So this happened to me.
Manish, sorry to interrupt you on that one. There are just a couple of folks who are looking to jump up on stage. So I'm just doing a quick time check, and I wonder, it probably makes sense if we get those people up on stage, if that's okay with you,
yeah,
Manish?
Yeah.
Sorry to butter in there.
Absolutely.
But let's, hopefully, let's see if we can come back to your next topic, because I'm sure we could explore that one. But I'm going to bring Christine Pinto up onto stage, who's been waiting patiently. Let's get Christine up into the conversation. And then Demi, I can see your hands up as well. We'll bring you up in a little bit soon as well. Christine, hello, and welcome to This Week in Testing. How has your week been?
Hello, everyone. My week been very intense, and I got to do a different kind of testing I never did before. I went to a UX testing, I guess, event meetup, and it was very, very fascinating to try with people who have, like, these are, were mainly students because it was close to your university, seeing their reactions on different kind of testing. It was from taste testing, because somebody, it's for startups mainly, somebody is creating a new way of making nut cream. It was typical testing on a computer with click dummies. It was what we had, printouts on papers and stickers. And then somebody else had, they were doing a like a randomized, what events could you name some? So they actually bought like a pot of little pieces of paper where you basically pull it out and then got recommendations for the next 3 days because that's what you wanted to validate. And it was so interesting because I was there between testers, I guess. They were testing everything, but they were not like formally educated, but they were so curious and so interesting. And the questions I got, because everybody was looking at our, we trying to figure out which landing page design we have to do. And thank you to everybody in the community, because I posted that question yesterday also in the club as we're building our project in public. And I got already awesome feedback, and I will get to everybody with comments. So thank you so much for doing this, because I really appreciate every help and every contribution you do, because I really mean it. I love this community and I want to build it with all of you. And yesterday was just interesting to be in a different kind of community and experience different kind of testers. It was very fun. It was very, like, I got challenged, not challenged, but explaining things to basically like a five-year-old like mindset, and sometimes also learning through that. It was very interesting to see what you can learn out of these perspectives as well when you're not in a space where everybody understands what you're talking about. So I enjoyed that very much, beside all the other testing I did this week as well, but this was my highlight.
That sounds very cool, Christine. Loving it. It's always good. I think there's a lot of folks out there who I reckon are just waiting to become testers for real, and then, you know, they're getting involved and they don't quite realize it, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, I am a software tester, I am a type of tester, I do question things, I am curious about things. So it sounds like you met some of those people, which is brilliant.
Yeah, I did, and I even gave Sylvain also a recommendation, because the way he was approaching that, it was so smart. And I said, like, your way of the critical thinking, you going into this, and I asked him, what are you doing? Yeah, software engineer. I was like, are you sure you want to stay in this? Like, the way you're doing this is like pretty session, look into automation engineering. He's like, what is that? So I can explain it a little bit. And that was so fascinating, because it's exactly this critical thinking, this like dissecting from no knowledge, right? Backlog testing. And it was very fascinating. And then other people were just like, oh, that looks fancy. What is that? That's very funny. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. I always remember thinking about like user experience. I just a quick reflection here on my career. I always learned so much working closely with designers and UX folks, just the way they would approach, you know, really trying their best to step into the shoes of potential customers or end users. And that would always influence my testing approach. That they were one of my favorite oracles was how they approach problems and think of the user. And it was just, yeah, I always enjoyed working very closely with UX and designer folks.
Yeah, because in the end, it's all about user experience. Eh? You can have the most brilliant flow, but if that makes no sense in the user experience and people need, I don't know, 20 clicks to do one filter or something, that's where you have to think about your users. You have to test with real people. That's what I also realized, is that, yes, when we get to a big stage where we know what we do, definitely I don't want to test in production, but right now I basically have to test what I'm building with real users to figure out, okay, what does the user experience needs to be like? Just because I think I know, yesterday showed me again, it wasn't so clear for everybody. And I was like, oh yeah, because I didn't put myself actually in all the other people who have not the chance to talk to me and just see it as like, oh yeah, it's like, what is that? Like, yeah. Exactly. And that's why I think designers' jobs are also very hard to do that. But also when we're testing, it's the same, putting our shoes into the customers we're testing the product for. Eh?
Absolutely. And for our listeners today, if you're not familiar with what Christine is up to, I very much encourage you to head over to epictestquest.com. Find out what's going on there. Do sign up for just updates and get stuck in. Do contribute. Do get stuck in. Very much recommend it. Christine is doing very, very cool things with the community. So do go check it out. It's epictestquest.com.
That's very nice. Thank you. You can also just connect with me on LinkedIn. That's also completely fine. I'm updating on my personal LinkedIn as well, because I have to say our website is in progress. Huh? We're testing and I still have to change it, and there's so much to do. But yeah, I think the most updates you get currently is on LinkedIn, either through me or Epic Test Quest or wherever, or here in This Week in Testing, as I always love to be here and talk to, also hear what everybody else has to say. It's always fun. Thank you, Simon.
Awesome, Christine. Very cool indeed. Doing a quick time check, we have just over 10 or so minutes. So Demi Van Malcott has been waiting very patiently with a hand up. So Demi, let's get you up on stage. Let's find out about your week in testing and see where we go. Demi, welcome. Thank you for joining the stage again. It's good to see you. Oh, and Demi, if from my side, I can see you're still on mute.
Okay, this is working now.
Yes, it is working. I can hear you.
I forgot to press the button. I should know better.
don't worry. It's all good. It's all good. So how was your week in testing?
My week in testing has unfortunately been less on the testing side, because there were a lot of issues in the application to be solved. And at the moment, our databases are being migrated, so the whole dev, the testing environment is down. So we are keeping ourselves busy with the other activities that the testers can do that aren't actually testing the application. So I've been teaching the testers on my team on how to do a bit of test analysis, so to speak, to understand what test scenarios we should cover. And I've been helping the developers with deciding what scenarios they should put in their unit tests. So I've been actually half automating together with them. And this afternoon, we are the test team and I are preparing our presentations for the, like I mentioned a few weeks ago, we are organizing our very own mini test conference in the company. So we are preparing our topics for that. So yeah, we keep busy even though we can't test anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all happening. That's very exciting. Oh, pesky database migrations just get in the way, right? You just want to get cracking. From what you shared, though, it sounds like it's actually given you a brilliant opportunity. It sounds like, you know, high impact with building relationships with developers and helping them think with contribute to their testing mindset that perhaps they already have, and adding value to that. Very cool indeed. And excited for your test conference, your internal conference. So what sort of stage, you say you're picking topics and then working on presentations? That's very cool. So yeah, so have you decided on a structure for it and how you're going to set it up and how it's going to work?
Yeah, we are. We have found some volunteers who are willing to do some presentations. So it's presentations of 15 minutes on the topics that are very current at the moment. And otherwise, besides that, we have a very big room. And we have just asked all the testers, is there something that you would like to share with the other testers, with other people? Is there something you do in your team that you're interested about in testing, one of the techniques, how you organize things that you would love to share with other people? So I think we've got, so they have formed little teams for which they will make their own presentations and posters a bit, so they will each have a different stand, and then people can simply walk up to them and see what they are up to and figure out what is going on, if it's interesting to them and if they can apply it as well. So, yeah.
Loving it. That's so cool. It sounds brilliant. I wish ourselves and the rest of the audience could gate crash your internal test conference. It'd be pretty cool. And are you running it in person, or is this an entire virtual or hybrid? How's that working?
It is an in-person event, so we are doing it on-site. We have booked the biggest conference room we have in the building for it, and then the room decided to do the presentations, and we have invited everyone. Every single team member, every part of business, everyone is invited to come to see what the testers are up to, to see how they can get involved as well. A lot of the topics are about how the testing and business can work more closely together and stuff like that. So it's open to everyone, but I'm afraid it is in person. So, but I'll try to, when the event has happened, maybe put a few updates on LinkedIn so you can see what we've talked about.
Yeah, I'd love to hear, you know, some of the outcomes of the conversations, you know, of course, respecting IP and privacy and all that good stuff. But yeah, I'd love to hear how it goes and some of the key takeaways and how that can be sort of shared across the rest of the external community. I wonder if you're able to if there's still availability for someone to come join you, perhaps maybe Beren van Dael. I think we've spoken about Beren before on a message. I wonder if he could sort of sneak in and talk about risk storming and that as a process. I think he might be nearby to where you're based, Demi.
Yeah, I've actually been in communication with him because I am trying to see if we can host the next Belgium meetup at our company. So we're still one hurdle away, but we might be the next host there as well, so I can get the bigger community in Belgium also at our company. So
very cool. That's great. And if ever you need anyone to dial in, then, you know, perhaps some of the folks who are on stage right now could share some thoughts and stuff. If you did ever need a guest speaker to jump on in and perhaps join virtually, I'm sure that's an opportunity as well. But yeah, maybe for another time. But just putting it out there that I think, and this is to all of listeners, there's, you know, lots of companies out there that are hosting their own like internal events. You know, absolutely encourage you to reach out to the external community and get some speakers in, just to start some conversations with your teams internally. And then I guess that could lead to people who are internal to then going external as well and joining other kind of meetups, whether it's in person or virtually as well, just to continue to kind of share the knowledge and experience across the community. But yeah, very cool, Demi. Very excited for you. That sounds awesome. Great. Oh, Demi, sorry if I'm interrupting you if you are speaking. I can see you're still off mute. Oh, there we go. Yeah, sorry. I didn't know if I had a problem with my data connection here, whether I was talking over you there. But yeah, thank you for joining us today and sharing. So folks, we are coming to the end of this episode of This Week in Testing. Again, it flies by, so very grateful for everyone for listening to today. Just a few reminders of some things that are happening with the Ministry of Testing community. So we have the Software Testing Essentials Certificate. We're making great progress on that. We are releasing the modules as soon as they are available. Please do go check it out. I posted on LinkedIn earlier this week how impressive it is. We are working with just some incredible community people. They are sharing real life stories, you know, their actual lived experiences of what it means to be a tester, why testing is important, how you get into it. All the essential stuff is shaping up so well. So we're really privileged to help curate and craft this testing certificate. So do go check it out. If you head over to ministryoftesting.com, look for certifications. You can get a bit of a note. Well, you can get a full overview of all modules, which will be available early next year, but you can get started already with module 1 and 2. So if there's someone on your team who is pretty new to testing, we'd recommend that you get them set up on that. There is a discount that we have running until the end of December, so you'll get a good value for money. It genuinely is incredible. Like, again, of course I'm biased, I work at Ministry of Testing, but the quality of discussions, the quality of writing, the way the community is building this, it's phenomenal. I said to Rosie earlier on this week, I really wish this was the thing that I had at the start of my career. you know, I've missed out. I feel a little bit frustrated by that, but it is what it is. But I feel it's that kind of, it's that good that I encourage all folks who are new to testing to get involved and sign up for that certification. It will set you up in your career and give you a real head start. The other part of it as well is you'll get to connect with people in the community. And that's something maybe we don't talk enough about learning and education and development is, yes, you can take a certification and you get a certification and that helps you your career. But it's the people that you meet during the certificate that you'll be like, oh, I know I could go and speak to that person about this particular topic, or oh, I could connect with that person again. Like, we absolutely encourage that as part of the certification, that you build a network of community. So you get stuck into the community as well as learning how to become a really good software tester. So do go check it out. Other things that are happening, we have a call for contributions for Test Bash next year. Feels like a long way away, but it's going to come around quickly. So if you are thinking about, you know what, I've got to talk about a particular testing topic, do go put yourself forward for that. You may also have a workshop that you want to run with the community in person. We very much encourage you to share your ideas. We can work with you to help shape them. Head over to ministryoftesting.com/contribute. Tick the box that says Test Bash 2025. Share your idea. We are starting to collect all of them. We will announce share more information about how 2025 is going to look. But in the meantime, get your ideas in. Get yourself thinking about what you might want to talk about or what workshop you may wish to run. Very exciting. So yeah, please do jump onto ministryoftesting.com/contribute. Okay, folks, we have hit the hour, so it's time to wrap things up. Thank you so much to everyone who's jumped up on stage today. So to Vivek, Manish, Ben, Jesse, Christine and Demi, very grateful for you sharing today. Lots of good ideas discussed and amazing advice shared. And to you, the listener, very grateful for you joining another This Week in Testing. Please do join us again. We'll be here same time next week. And if you want to catch this on our podcast, you can. We are building out our recordings over on our podcast page at ministryoftesting.com. So if you want to come back to this conversation, if you missed something or you want to revisit part of the conversation or share it with one of your colleagues, please do go ahead. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of your day and have a lovely weekend. And we'll speak with you soon. Bye for now.